Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Do you have a childminder? Have they decided to close up in recent weeks? If so, we'd like to hear your stories in the programme today. You can drop us an email, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. But Leanne Gilmore, who's a childminder, spoke to Claire earlier this morning about why she feels the new TUSLA regulations have caused her to leave the profession.
I've no problem, none of us do, with regulations that improve safeguarding for children, even though I felt, as members of Childminding Ireland, we had plenty of safeguarding because we're Garda vetted, we're first aid trained, we have to do the Children First Safety Course by TUSLA. All of that is done to be a member of Childminding Ireland. So I always said I'd wait and see. And I suppose what happened was when the public consultation went out, what was there for us to give feedback on was very minimal on detail, so it was very, very hard to give meaningful feedback. So then the regulations were published and I really wasn't happy. And it wasn't any one thing, it was lots of things put together that to me made it feel untenable to continue. And it was not in my plans to ever give this up. So I made a very, very heartbreaking decision to leave because I just felt the regulations weren't fit for purpose. There is not, I have not yet met one, and of course I haven't met every childminder in the country, but I have not yet met one who takes childminding with a blasé attitude. We are all very conscious of the great responsibility that is being entrusted to us. I had two families at the time, devastated, and the reason I told them early was because I knew that at least one of the families was going to choose a primary school for their little boy based on me. And so I didn't want them to go down that road. And this is what happens. They are part of your family.
Lucy is with us on the line today because, Lucy, you're also a childminder. You got in touch with us here on the programme. What's your concern about these new regulations?
Well, how long do you have? I think it's probably quicker. While, as the previous lady said, we all understand the need for regulations in order to safeguard children. That is the primary, as a childminder, that is your primary role, right? Nobody objects to that. What we do object to is being turned into a business when we are one individual. So the regulations that are coming in are stringent, which to some degree is understandable, yeah. But it's ridiculous. Like, for an example, I cannot leave, I mind the kids part-time, I can't leave the children with my 17-year-old daughter who babysits them if, let's say, I have to run to collect another child and she's here and she can mind them and she's Garda vetted. I can't leave her with them. So if a child gets ill suddenly, I have to pack the kids that I mind and go to the doctors with them if it's urgent. Or if one of my own children gets sick, I have to ring all the parents and can't do under these new regulations. That's the way it would work.
So how many, just to give me a flavour, Lucy, like how many children would say roughly do you typically tend to mind?
Depends on the day. So it'd be like two or three maybe. So, and they're very young, they're very small. So yeah. They're all under fives. So generally they come everywhere with me and that's not a problem. And they're on part-time basis, a lot of them. So they, you know, and this is the other problem that, you know, they are trying to turn us into creches. We aren't creches. Childminders were never meant to be creches. We are an alternate childcare choice made by parents. We are not creches. We are not Montessoris. The kids that are with me are, it's home from home for them. These little ones come running to my front door into my arms.
Yeah.
And so while I do understand, I don't like the idea of a stranger coming into my house and going the whole way through my house and critically evaluating it. I've never ever had an accident. In all the years I've been minding little ones, I've never, ever, ever had an accident because I take really, really good care of these children. And I understand they need to come in and to make sure the environment is safe. But even for the inspection, I couldn't even do it. I'd have to ask them to come back because I can't leave the children.
So the new rules will mean that there will be, will it be regular inspections of your home?
That in theory, but in reality, TUSLA don't have the staff. I've completed all the trainings. In fact, my cert is number 6, so I was one of the very first people to do it. And the idea is that you'd have, I'm guessing, annual random inspections. But the problem is that, you know, if they go to do that, it happened to one, a local creche near to me the other day, that the tooth inspector arrived, great, was shown around, but had somebody to show that person around while the children were still being cared for. If a tooth inspector arrives on my door, I have to tell them to go away and come back in an hour, and I will. I have to call all of the parents to come and get the children because I can't do both.
So they have to So they're looking for access, at least, as you say, on an annual basis to inspect the home. It's going to mean that you know if you have to pop over to the school or whatever to drop off a kid or collect a kid or whatever goes on like that, that's
and
no longer feasible.
It's literally across the road. I am literally walking across the road while she's keeping an eye on them. And in theory, I suppose you shouldn't really do that. But life is life, you know, and the parents know that I do this and I have their permission.
Yes.
And as far as I'm
and
concerned,
what are the other,
they're comfortable.
Well, the regulations that are now being enforced, Lucy?
There'd be normal safety stuff, which is absolutely fine. The cots one gets me. So I have breathable travel cots with breathable mattress. So it's perfectly safe for the child. The child is sleeping safely in a ventilated area. That's not allowed. I now have to spend £400 on a cot, on a foldable cot for the child to go into, because a travel cot isn't considered safe for the child.
So do you will all of this put you off? Like, as we heard from Leanne Gilmore there at the start.
You're
going to pack up.
And believe me, I mean, at least I'm in Dublin. My families don't have enough. Like, there are a lot of the creches have closed the baby rooms, right, due to funding. So who has filled in the gap, does the government think?
But you see, I was looking at some of the information around this a little earlier this morning from Childminding Ireland. And what they tell us is that there's probably, on average, or there's an approximate 13,000 childminders across the country. And so far, these new TUSLA regulations, as of February of this year, only 166 of the 13,000 of you have actually signed up to them or put them in, have registered
to them. The number now, it's going to shock you, the number's gone up loads. It's now 175. So there are 175 registered childminders, and it's really important that people understand that childminders do not mind being regulated and do not mind registering, but it has to have common sense. And what they're proposing is not common sense, and it's not feasible, and particularly for rural areas, whatever about Dublin, but it's a lot of, I have friends all over the country, and like in rural areas, they aren't creches, so people rely on childminders. And a lot of these childminders may be slightly older than me, you know, women in their mid-50s, early 60s. But all these regulations and everything, they're like, oh, do you know what? No, I can't do this. And so all these kids are losing out on people who become like second parents to them, because the government are too blind to realise that they're doing this the wrong way, and they're not listening to the people who do know how it should be done.
The issue, I suppose, one of the issues you could probably raise today in all of this, if we reckon there's about 13,000 childminders across the country that are caring for the children of parents that are likely listening to this programme this lunchtime, like, if that's you and Leanne, so you're just two of the 13,000 that are saying you're going to bow out, like, we constantly talk about childcare services and the lack of available spaces around the country. So who's going to pick up the slack?
I'm assuming they're expecting mothers to give up work, are they? Or fathers? I'd love to know what their theory is, because it's not as if this is going to come as a shock. I got a call from my local childcare committee asking why have I not registered with TUSLA yet, and I told her exactly why.
Because you're going to leave.
Very honest. Well, I said, like, you know, the thing is that the regulations aren't exactly clear. So they're kind of hazy boundaries, but actually what will be required, we can't find out.
Yeah. Okay, stay with me, Lucy, for a moment. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. If there's maybe parents that are impacted as a result of this today, I want to bring in Elaine Dunn. Elaine is the chairperson of the Federation of Early Childhood Professionals. Well, Elaine, to that point, first of all, I mean, like, if there's childminders that are now going to shut their doors and no longer provide this service, are the creches and Montessoris across the country going to be able to pick up that slack?
No, not at all. And what we're seeing, we've lost 1,000 services in 2019. they've all closed down due to the lack of funding. And we always hear there's so many billions coming into the sector, but when you break it down onto the ground, there isn't enough funding coming in. And what we are hearing around the country as well is that childminders that used to come into services and pick up children in ECHE services at 12 o'clock are gone. They're all disappearing. And I would be hugely concerned for parental choice because it's going to be gone. Because normally it's the childminders that are at home. They take the babies in, they nurture them till a certain age. Then they come into us and then we take over. And it's been a great feeding into services locally around the country. And that's disappearing. I mean, up last year and the year before, we would have had about 12 childminders coming to my service to pick up children at one at between 12 and 1. And they're all gone. There's one left. One on Donny coming, and she's actually finishing up in June.
Just one left. Do you have an issue with these regulations?
No, nobody has an issue with regulations. Regulations are there for the health, safety and well-being of children.
Yeah, but can you see why Lucy and Leanne that were was speaking here in the station a little bit earlier this morning, do you see why they say they're not practical, they're not workable?
I think the biggest problem is that there was consultation, but when you don't have a proper childminders form, like we have a providers form that we go in as providers and we have meetings with the Department of Children, but Childminding Ireland, they don't have that form and they need that form. Childminders around the country need to have their voices heard, and that's a big thing that's lacking. You can't make decisions for people who are in their home without actually sitting around a table with them and having proper meetings two or three times a year to go through what the reality is on the ground. Mm. And look, we all know the reality on the ground for early years is pretty bleak at the moment. So now with the childminders going, that is now forcing women and men out of the workforce because there's nobody there to take the slack for minding the children. I mean, it's a huge, I really don't understand what government policy is trying to do here. Maybe they're trying to force people out of the workforce because I don't get it, because they're not giving any incentive to actually stay working.
Yeah, well, I presume the Department of Children have said in relation to this that the regulations are designed to be proportionate and appropriate to the home and the family setting in which childminders work and differ substantially from those of the centre-based childcare settings. Ollie Sheehan is the owner and director of Mary Geary Childcare. Ollie, what's your view on all of this?
My view is that, I suppose, look, regulation is necessary where the welfare of children is paramount, right? So it is, and it's very unfortunate. You know, we've experienced here in our own settings of wonderful childminders, coming, dropping off children in the morning, collecting them during the day and whatever. We've had wonderful experience, but unfortunately, you know, to regulate a sector is necessary and it must happen. And I suppose a lot of it is for common sense to prevail.
Now, is that happening here?
Is that happening here? Good question. I hear a lot of concerns from your two earlier speakers there about the levels of, you know, kind of what they might describe as bureaucracy. Unfortunately, from our point of view, that has been the case with the last 20 years. Mm. And it continues to grow, the levels of bureaucracy. You know, they're not at a level yet where you have to categorise toilet paper, you have to categorise, if you buy flour, is it a food substance or is it something you make Play-Doh with and you have to divide up your purchase of flour? So I get it where their concerns are, but the regulation will continue to grow, and government, I suppose by its nature, you know what, that's their area of expertise, but the idea of practically delivering a service, be that childminding or be that full day childcare. Mm-hmm. Or after school, the reality on the ground is much, much different.
Yeah, there's a texter here in Ennis and Clare telling us that she's 26 weeks on maternity leave, and it's impossible to get a baby under 12 months minded at all now in Ennis. Lucy, just on this and a final point, the Department of Children says it's committed to undertaking a review of the initial implementation of these new rules. That's happening in a couple of weeks' time. Is that, like, how do you feel about that? I mean, will that give it some scope at least to see how this actually pans out?
Yeah, it certainly will. I think what's really vital there for this is that Childminding Ireland are constantly in touch with their childminders, and you know, and there has been discussion to get our views. It's very important that Childminding Ireland are brought to the table for this review, that they're sat with, that the possible points that are going to be reviewed or need to be looked at, that the people who are on the ground on this, I actually really agree with your previous caller. I do understand the need for regulation.
Yeah.
And I do think it's very important. And that's not what childminders are saying. We're not saying, no, we don't want to be regulated. Yes, will it be a bit of a pain? Of course it will. But he said common sense. The regulations that come in on us, where it's one individual in a family home, as opposed to a creche or Montessori setting, are totally different. You're talking about two totally different animals. So that common sense has to prevail. Yeah,
and the reality...
The Minister needs to bring Childminding Ireland into these discussions and listen to us, or they're going to find themselves in serious trouble.
Well, just like that last texter said, that they're, you know, on 26 weeks maternity leave and they can't get any childminded who's under 12 months of age in Ennis and County Clare. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. We'll leave it there for the moment. That's Lucy, Elaine Dunn, and Ollie Sheehan there as well.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.